Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning, and we say you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come together, to share your word, Father, to learn more about you. Father, I pray that we would have open hearts, we would be receptive to what it is that you would want to speak to us today. We submit ourselves to you now for this next half an hour, and then for the service that follows. Be with us, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. What we're going to talk about today is becoming more like Jesus. I will tell you that we started 3 weeks ago laying the foundation of Jesus. And that foundation has to be week number one with salvation. We talked about if we doubted our salvation, it's because we were relying on our feelings rather than the word. So we covered the word about salvation. The next week, last week, we looked a bit on who is Jesus and who is he to me. So today, we're going to be talking about becoming more like Jesus. So with that, I want us, good morning. Was your cruise wonderful? We're glad you're here. I've just asked everybody to open up to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading beginning in verse 12. I'll give you a moment. My heading is pressing toward the goal. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Remember, the last couple of weeks, Pastor's been talking about forgetting those things. We're to be looking ahead, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, we're all on various levels. Notice it said nobody's reached that goal, but we're all here for one purpose, aren't we? We all want to grow. So no matter where we are, good morning. Come in. We just got started. Join us. Glad to have you. Now, I want you just to, in your Bibles, go back a few pages to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll be beginning in verse 16. The heading of my Bible is Walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you that last week, I took all of our time. This week, I'm going to take about 10 minutes, the last 20 is going to be discussion. So pay close attention to what we're covering this morning, because we're going to stay on task and we're going to do just what it is that the Bible is talking about. So if we are to become more like Jesus, then we need to follow his example. Remember, he said he only did what he saw his Father do. That's John 8:38. And he only said what he heard his Father say. That's John 8, 38. See, those are big footsteps for us to follow. And it's certainly not going to happen overnight. But unless we strive to become more like Jesus, we're not going to make any progress at all. It's kind of like the story of the little boy. And he fell out of bed. And mom said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know. I think I just got too close to where I got in." And isn't that the way with a lot of Christians? We stop at salvation. That's where we got in. But no, we haven't progressed beyond that. So don't be like that little boy. Speaks of too many Christians. Content with salvation and nothing more. But that's not for us. You showed that today by coming. So Galatians 5 is a good place to start. I'm going to be reading verses 16 through the end of the chapter. Galatians 6. I'm sorry. Galatians 5, 16. Galatians 5. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are," here's a whole big list, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Verses 16 through 18 shows the difference between Spirit-led and being led by your soulish man. Remember last week we talked about man is made in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our body's going to follow along with no matter whomever takes the lead. So we need to learn to be Spirit-led. Okay? You can see the battle in verse 16 through 18 that goes on between the two for dominance. And then verses 19 and 21 is the outcome of being led by the soulish man. Oh, not all those things are going to happen. But see, the warfare continues, and we can't overcome temptation alone. We need to learn to be led by the Spirit. And then finally, verses 22 through 26 is the result of being Spirit-led, having crucified their flesh, which, by the way, is daily, probably hourly, sometimes minute by minute. You have to make that decision. Now I want to read, "I Choose Love." This is a really good book. It is God's Roadmap for New Beginners. Let the Journey Begin by Max Lucado. And he uses that very scripture that we just read. He says, "I choose love. It's quiet. It's early. My coffee is hot. The sky is still black. The world is still asleep. the day is coming. In a few minutes, the day will arrive. It will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by the decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. I need a tissue. It is now that I must make a choice. And remember, because of Calvary, we have that choice. Are we going to be led by our soulish man? We're going to be led by the Spirit. He said, today, I will choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today, I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstances. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconvenience of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will use it as an opportunity for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fists at new assignments, I will face them with joy, and I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone, kind to the rich, for they are afraid, and kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today, I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit is going to soar, and I will not let what's going to rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these, I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will once again seek his grace. And then, when the day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. Okay, that's a mighty big order for the day, but beginning the day by surrendering your will to his is the first step. So it's at least wise for us to begin. If you only have a few minutes, take those few minutes. I have to have my cup of coffee first, I have to admit. But shortly after that, it's God's time for however long. Some days, you know, the activities of the day is shorter. Other days, it may be noon. But take that time first. Spend it with God. Give yourself to Him. Seek His direction for the coming day. Now, I spent all my time last week, so you all have 15 minutes. I'm going to turn on the hand mic, and I'm going to pass this around. And what I'm going to do is we are going to explore the fruit of the Spirit. We just discussed all of that. Discuss how you may have had trouble with that particular area or how you overcame in that same area. But we need to stay on track and use only the word that I'm going to give you. The first word is love. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you have a hard time loving your neighbor? Or how about loving yourself? You know, you can't give to others unless you have it within you. And I find oftentimes loving yourself might be the first step. Who wants to tackle the first fruit, love?
Got it. Okay, when I think of love, you're true that you have to love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not open to seeing the faults and goodness of other people and the forgiveness. And for me, I have to have love in order to forgive you. And even though you may walk on me and kick me around, I still try to have some element of love. Forgive me.
Very good. Who else wants to add? Anybody? This is Vince. This is our neighbor. Well, I did to other people when they came in, but I will at the end. This is our pastor head. This is Vince and his lovely wife, Rose. He asked for directions a couple of weeks ago. His text got mixed up in my good morning things, and I ignored him. So I text him and I said, you have an open invitation at any time. The dress is casual. We have donuts. Anyway, go ahead. Love.
Well, because of what you just said, I understand my sister over there. Because of love, I forgive you.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
The only thing I would say about loving yourself, I don't think it's possible to really love yourself until you understand how much you're loved. If we understand God's love for us, then we can have a healthy love for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll spend all of our existence criticizing ourselves and downing ourselves, and we've sinned, and you know, all of those things. It's hard to love yourself when you see yourself in the mirror.
Yes.
But once I understand how much my Father loves me, then I can love me. And once I love me, then only then, I believe, can I genuinely love others for who they are and what they are.
Amen. Amen. Let's go into the second one. How about joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are we looking for joy? Are we looking for happiness? And what's the difference? Anybody? Joy. Think of those letters, J-O-Y. How can you really have joy unless you put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last? But do we do that? How many of us are seeking happiness? You know, temporary, let's go do this. And then you get back home, and it's the same old love. the things of God, and it brings true joy. Anybody want to tackle joy? Want to go on? Oh, good. I'd love to see a hand.
Okay, this is something I'm learning about joy, and it's that nothing on earth will give you true joy, and it all comes from God.
Amen. Amen. Let's go on to peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding. Jesus says, in the world, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Ooh, let me tell you about that. Can we find peace in tribulation? Peace. How about long-suffering? Another word for long-suffering is patience. I could ask Russ about patience, but I'm not going to put him on the spot. I will only say, don't go to Target on a sunny Saturday afternoon if you're only going to pick up two little items. And it didn't help that in the long line, I'm singing, have patience, have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember how patient God was with you. It did not work. It didn't help. But it's hard. It's hard to be patient when you're in a hurry, right? Anybody want to tackle patience? Oh, good, John.
I just want to state that I've got lots of patience because I've still got every little bit they gave me to begin with.
Oh, how about kindness and long-suffering? I put those together because they're similar, yet they're different. Kindness involves actions that show consideration and care toward others, while goodness encompasses a wider range of moral qualities, including integrity, honesty, and righteousness. So it's an inherent trait rather than a single act. So you can be kind to someone, and it's a one-time deal. But if you've developed goodness, then that's shown no matter where you are and what you're doing. Anybody? Want to hear from everyone? Faithfulness. Can God count on you? Faithfulness.
I think of faithfulness. I think of my family and friends, but most of all, I think of our church and our pastor being so faithful to all of us and loving us. And that's just something you can count on going to church is faithfulness of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Gentleness. We must never mistake gentleness for weakness. Think about Jesus. He was so gentle that little children ran up to him. But oh, the strength of that man. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about Jesus being fully God and fully man. Think about him on the cross. We think he couldn't have been just man. Think of all that he endured. But yet he was gentle. There's such a difference to have that gentle spirit. So often we want to get in somebody's face and we want to fight, we want to show, we want to prove. we want to prove to the devil sometime, no, you better watch what you're doing. We approach God first, and then we let him win our battles for us. Self-control. Anybody want to tackle self-control?
You look around and there's very little self-control. And the people that you expect to have control are the people who are spouting words of Christians. Yeah. And they're saying they're just totally, least little thing happens and they fall apart. And that's with human. We're human. But it's always a good thing to think about God first before you let loose.
Yes. Self-control goes back to letting, you know, whether we're going to be spirit controlled or whether we're going to be soul controlled. Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. I had some come in late, so let me tell you what we're doing. You guys missed last week. And the foundation that we're laying, remember, we started with salvation. Then the next week, who is Jesus and who is he to me? And so today is becoming more like Jesus. And that is developing the fruit of the Spirit within us. It's very important. And it only comes about by spending time. And I spent the time reading the Max Lucado. It's important, first thing in the morning, give him your day, and then let the busyness of the day take on a different meaning for you. And then next week, we're going to talk about the power of the word. So very, very important. The week after that, we're going to use that power of the word to renew our minds. After that, we're going to talk about religion versus relationship. I don't want anybody in this room to go through what I went through early on in my Christian life, trying to be good enough, thinking to be religious meant something more to God. No, it's a relationship. And then I've got the first 7 weeks. The next one, where do I fit in? See, God is building his army. He's building his church one brick, one lively stone at a time. Where do I fit in? Well, our time's up, so let me close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you're writing your word on our heart. I thank you, Lord, for the group participation. Father, I see eagerness in these people. I thank you, Lord, for our visitor today. Bless Vince and Rose for coming. What a blessing they are to us, to Russ and I, and I know that they are to everybody that they're around. Father, I thank you for the privilege of standing before you this day. Father, we look forward to the service that's to come. Be with us now in our little fellowship time. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.